Well, I spoke to my friend Professor Price. So he told me everything that I needed to know. He said I shouldn't worry about bumping anybody off, which I think is great. You know, make sure that I take, well, I am OCD, so make sure I take a shower for the shower game. I want to make sure I'm not a little bit too loony or a little bit too toony. And I need to make sure I'm on the spot, I'm off the spot, but on the nose.
If you know, you know.
Oh, wait, that was my secret ex. Hold on. Come here, buddy.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
Talk show, the game show, will not be heard because it's been canceled. In its place, we present this great talk show about game shows.
Well, at least we're not canceled. At least not yet.
Not yet. Hey, as long as you behave yourself, we're not going to get canceled.
Hey. Gordon's not here right now. We're okay.
Okay. Hey, Chico Alexander here. Jason Block over there. And we're not going to be canceled over stuff like the Tournament of Champions is over in quite decisive fashion, might I add.
The word was squash match. Okay. Yeah. That's what it was.
Okay. We're also not going to be canceled over the talent portion of Drag Race, at least half of it. And we're not going to be canceled over Survivor invading the Price is Right again.
No, we're not going to be canceled because we have the super toilet.
I cleaned
it this time.
Oh, good. Is it warm?
Oh, shoot. I got to turn the heater on.
Boy.
do the opening. I'll be right back.
Okay. From somewhere in America, WLTI is on. Let's go.
Whee! Welcome to episode 523. It's still too damn cold outside. Of We Love to Interrupt on 5and1.
It's colder than your Jason ex's heart.
I know. It is Super Bowl weekend, which, of course, we'll talk about later. But we will also talk about, of course, that's Chico. Gordon will be here momentarily. But we have a winner in the Tournament of Champions.
Yes,
let's go.
We do.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Picture Studios, this is Jeopardy!
And when the big book of Jeopardy is written at the end of the day, they will mark Paolo Pasco as one of the strongest players of the 2020s, if not ever. Because, I don't know if you know this, but game one was a lock. Game two was a lock. And game three was also a lock.
He locked all the games because what he did was he found all the daily doubles. He went daily double hunting, and sorry, Redditors, that's what we do now.
That is okay. How you play the game. If you think you know how to play the game, you're more than welcome to take the test. Just saying.
Jeopardy.com, anytime test. There you go. And he absolutely crushed it. Do we really need to go through? Because it was locked, all three.
You know what? Let's play it all out here. Let's go over. Okay, the first one was a lock. Paul was 25,600. Final Jeopardy category is composers, and the clue be this composer, whose most famous work shows a Spanish influence, said, "My parents met in Madrid."
I knew this too.
Fun fact.
I knew this.
This was supposed to be his greatest work. Bolero was supposed to be sort of appropriated for The Legend of Zelda. but I don't think it ever really? Did. Yes, it did. Look it up. But yeah, it's Maurice.
Well, no, it's more famous for a scene in the 1979 movie 10, where Bo Derek was involved with Dudley Moore. If you get what I mean.
I get what you mean.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
I may be dating myself, but I totally get what you mean. But yeah, it's Maurice Ravel. And again,
no one got it except Scott. Okay.
And we go to game two. Same verse, same song, new verse. And the final Jeopardy category, American artist. The clue, his 1967 New York Times obituary called him a painter of loneliness.
I knew this too.
Who is Chico Alexander?
No, the painter. Okay, one of his most famous paintings is called Nighthawks with the restaurant in Lower Manhattan.
So it's Edward Hopper.
That's correct. And everyone got it right. But again, Paul didn't need to bet anything. And he's got two. It's 2-0 at this point. And unless the other players stop him from finding the daily doubles, it's over. And that's what happened. That's what happened.
Yep. Paulo found both daily doubles, including a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly in the double Jeopardy round. And, yeah, let's talk about the third final Jeopardy, which is island names. This clue. The archipelago got its name in 1493 in honor of St. Ursula and her followers.
I did not know this.
And there's Gordon Pepper, ladies and gentlemen.
Where?
We're just finishing the third game. And I did not know this. But it is the Virgin Islands. Everyone was writing, you know, congratulatory answers. But congratulations, Paulo Pasco, for winning the Tournament of Champions. Gordon.
In decisive fashion, might I add.
Gordon, what did you think of Paulo's performance?
Oh, I thought it was dominant. And again, you've seen it. He sort of made it look easy, and he sort of did. But it's one of the reasons why you see the tournament, because if you just saw that, you would have been like, well, he ran through everybody. These people were better than what Paul made them look like, because he didn't make them look very good, but they are very good. Just to get to that level, you need to be really, really good, because Paul just made it look easy.
Yeah, I know. It is, and hopefully we will be having some conversations with Mr. Pasco sometime soon. But no rest for the weary, as tonight's show starts the JIT. And we have Karen Farrell, Drew Basile, and Matt Amodio back for another shot at the Masters. Matt locks the game at 18-8, but this one is Coins of the World. The clue. Coins issued by this territory have depicted Old World monkeys, Neanderthal skulls, and the Europa Point lighthouse. And that's your clue right there. Everybody gets Gibraltar, except Matt, who thought it was Kenya, but it is Gibraltar.
Yep.
But Matt moves.
Boot point, Matt moves on.
And who is playing in tomorrow? Do we know?
Tomorrow, as we record this, we have Erica Hazek, Roger Craig. Not that one, but the other one. And Veronica Vichit Batacon, friend of the site, friend of ours.
There you go.
If you think about it this way, Roger, the Jeopardy Roger Craig, right now would probably be more famous than the other Roger Craig.
Probably.
Think about that.
Probably. Okay, you want to talk about fate? Okay, so obviously, very talented threesome, but I have another very talented threesome, and then there's another very talented threesome after that.
Yeah! Woo! Girl! She's already the hair hurt!
It is time for the splitting of the Rate a Queen talent show. Okay?
Now,
Gordon, you didn't like this, huh?
I never liked the Raider Queen Talent Show. I think from a social aspect of a game, it's not really much for any sort of social aspect. It's more for, ooh, drama. Let's do drama. So, whatever.
Right. So the first
queens. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, I hear you. The first queens that performed were Sierra Mist, Juicy Love Dion, Nene Coco, Sierra Mist, who did some spoken word poetry, Juicy Love Dion, who did an original song, Nene Coco, who lip synced, Vita Von Testar, who did an original song, Darlene Mitchell, who did a comedy performance, not a surprise, and Mia Starr did another original song and dancing. The runway category. Yeah, go ahead, Gordon.
The one thing that I did like about this is usually you see the talent show at the beginning. I actually liked where they put it in terms of the season, just because you get to know who the queens are, and then you see talent show and you go, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. You know what? I agree with you on that.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's smack dab in the middle of this talent show, isn't it?
Well, not the middle. It's sort of...
In the earlier part.
Closer
to the beginning than the middle. But at least that part this season they got right.
Yes.
The runway category is not today, Satin. Sorry. The queens who didn't perform rank the performances using Raider Queen, and the top two queens are Juicy Love Dion and Mia Starr. And they will lip sync for the win. Sierra Mist got ranked lowest and will lip sync for her life. They lip sync to Pretty Ugly, and it's a tie.
By the way, Pretty Ugly by Zara Larsson, who is the guest judge this episode.
Correct. And also Ross Matthews.
And I love me some Zara Larsson.
Yeah, she's very good.
She's awesome.
And Juicy Love Dion and Mia Starr split the $5,000, and we have no elimination until next week. But I have to ask you, Gordon, did any of the queens impress you, or was it just drama, drama, drama?
Drama, drama, drama. I'm playing the role of Randy Jackson. It's all right, dog. And again, if you're going to write a queen, if you really want to be evil, this is where you sabotage the people that you think is a threat and you try to send them home. You take the top two and you put them at the bottom. That is what you're supposed to do, write a queen. They didn't do that. And you understand why they didn't do that, but they didn't do that. So, I did that.
Okay.
In terms of the twist.
Maybe it'll be better next week. Who knows? Maybe it'll be...
Well,
the season itself is fine. I just take that specific particular shtick.
Right, I hear you. And you're right, because, again, now, before we get into Price is Right, I want to get into Masked Singer, and actually more of a serious note, because the person who was eliminated this week...
The person who was eliminated this week was Calla Lily, and underneath Calla Lily was a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, and perhaps one of the bravest of the Real Housewives anywhere, Teddy Mellencamp, who is performing as she is battling cancer, which is just an absolute impressive, brave thing to do. I got emotional about it. The judges got emotional about it. Teddy Mellencamp says she's not a singer by trade. That part was challenging. Also, a big part of her memory has been askew since brain surgery, so she was a little bit nervous, but she was excited to push herself out of her comfort zone and try something new, and it felt like, and now I'm quoting, it gave me a little bit of life. And her song this week just really hit her. It just really hit. She sang Fight Song by Rachel Platten. And
by the way, I believe just got her rights back to the song, if I'm not mistaken.
And also, she also did a riff on her father's Jack and Diane. Yes. Teddy Mellencamp's
and I believe her brain cancer is stage 4, so it is not good. So good luck, good honor for doing that, for real.
Yes.
It's good for her.
Good for a different reason. Not only is it her fight song, but when, I'm not an expert on this at all. I'm just getting this from the knowledge that I know from other people. on this, but when you do something to take your mind off what you have and you're fighting, that helps the recovery, that helps you do things. So good on her, and for anybody that's dealing with this, just going out there and doing something and either A, trying to be normal, or B, trying to do a bucket list thing, good on you. It takes guts. It's impressive. Kudos to Teddy, and kudos to anybody that's dealing with this, and they're doing their best to try to be normal or to try to give their life more expectancy and more enjoyment.
Indeed. Okay, let's go to Haven Studios.
What we need to, we need to play two themes here. Yes.
No. I said go to Haven. Go to Haven. I said go to Haven.
Yeah, hit it.
Thank you.
Now. This is the final, I believe, Price is Right at Night, I think, or are there a couple more?
There may be a couple more, but CBS is holding off until at least after the Olympics. Because remember, right. We have the Olympics, and then after the Olympics, it is Survivor 50! Yeah!
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the hunt is on all over the country right now.
If I you think go to I Survivor know where 50- North Carolina's idol is.
Where do you think it is?
I think it is at the...
Wait. Why would you tell anybody where it is?
Hold on. Because all you have to do... You don't have to be the first person to find it. There's a certain amount of time, and all you have to do is take a picture with it and then scan it with your QR code, and you're entered to win. So it's not like that.
It is somewhere...
Chico, it was within walking distance for you, or driving distance.
It is an hour away. It is an hour away.
Where do you think it is?
I think it's at the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh.
All right.
And when does it become available, Chico?
Tomorrow.
Hey, Jay, let's go on a trip to Raleigh.
Actually, no, you have to live in the state... Have to live in the city.
Oh, boo.
So if you have to go to Atlantic City for your G, you're screwed.
No.
I don't think Atlantic City for mine. Anywhere within New Jersey is within a drive.
That's
okay.
And the long, I mean, Atlantic City is 2.5 hours away. So, no, I'll go. If you can figure out where it is, I will go. I won't take Jay with me because he's not eligible, but I would go.
No, I wouldn't go. Well, I just need to find
it. Because it's on CBS, I'm not eligible either, but screw it. I'll go try to find it.
There you go.
Well, yeah, well, I'm just want to see where... Jersey is going to be February 12th, actually.
Yes.
So, 1 week from today.
Right, and like 14 states have been completed. Mine, New York State comes up February 22nd. So
I am going to be the first. So if anybody can't reach me this weekend, it's for good reason. Anyway,
By the way, Jay, are you? If we figure it out, do you want to take a road trip?
Let's see. But anyway,
what
moving
were we
back.
Talking about?
Price is Right and Survivor. So the focus is the fact that they cleverly did this, Gordon. They sent people to win trips to locations where Survivor has filmed over the 50 years, okay? 50 seasons, okay?
Yes, and that was definitely clever.
Yes,
okay, and of course, Survivor graphics. And the first player was John, who won Switch and won trips to French Polynesia and Australia, which was cool.
Yes, okay. And the second player, Anna... Ana Lopez went down and up and gets a chance for a catamaran in Bullseye. Took her 3 tries, but she hit the bullseye.
Right. And then Josephine played more or less for a pair of action cameras, a snorkeling package, a trip to Samoa, and a 2025 Granite Crystal Jeep Wrangler 2-door Sport 4x4. Unfortunately, she got stopped at the Samoa trip, which was very tricky because the trip was less than $12,000, and she said more. I would have said more, too, actually.
I would have said more, too. Hey, going to Samoa is expensive. all right? But she did make up for it by winning a spinoff at the Big Wheel, 65-40 against Sean. As we go to Anika Leach, who goes for a trip to the Cook Islands in Pushover. Bingo, bango, $19,138. She's a winner.
Now, this was very cool because we have never seen this vehicle on Price is Right until last night, if I'm not mistaken. Brigitte is playing, well, I will call this electric bill money for a 2025 Volkswagen ID Buzz first edition combi bus. Okay. And the gas money was $20,000. And she avoided the price of the car, which was, well, actually, which was $67,405. And she picked everything else, so she won a total of, because the gas money was doubled, $87,405 in cash and electrical.
That's the surfboards that she won in her one bid. And that's finally, cool. We have Jeffrey Conaway taking the hot route for a tent and a hammock chair. Now he has a chance to go to Thailand. If he wins bonus game, he got a glass terrarium and a Black & Decker slow cooker, and that's it. So he's got
and misses a safe, and a baseball catapult. But doesn't matter. He got the second one. So we had 5 out of 6 winners.
Pretty good for a primetime show, let me tell you. And Brigitte beats Josephine in the fabulous showcases. First showcase from Jeff Probst with a JTV bracelet, earrings, and necklaces.
Well, actually, these were golden milestones.
That's
okay.
Fine. Thank you.
So you have a gold jewelry, a trip to the 50th state, which is the golden anniversary, and
BMW 230i.
No, it was not gold, which was really sad, which was a blue metallic BMW 230i, and she bid $67,000. I was like,
I don't like the look of that. Josephine gets a Survivor-themed showcase with 3 trips. That would be the first one to Borneo. One of the best ones, the Pearl Islands. And where they currently film Survivor, Fiji. She bids $44,000. I don't like the look of that.
And I don't like the look of that either. Hit the buzzer. Okay, does Brigitte win her showcase at $67,000? No, it's $62,000.
I literally just hit that. Yeah, this was a double showcase. Loss.
Overbid. But it was actually a good show. It really was a good show.
It really was a good show, all things considered, but I would have loved for somebody, anybody, to have taken that cake. You know what I'm saying?
Cake. So before we get there, so we have 2 reviews to go to, and then we'll finish with Beast Games. The first one is It Cake's Valentine's? Around my birthday. If you like, I'm guessing, Is It Cake, it's just basically love-themed, right?
Right. It's like just like we had Halloween themed around Halloween, holiday themed around the holidays, now we have Valentine's themed around Valentine's. If you're a big fan of Is It Cake, this is a good show for you. If not, you're not missing anything. Me, I'm a big fan. I love this show. I love the competition. I think Mikey Day is getting there, so I think it's going to be an A- for me, but it's a good show. I love it. I like Is It Cake.
I'm going to go with the A- also. I'm sorry, Jay, you go.
I'll go B+. Same, you know, great show. It's a good show. I'm not going to knock it, you know. It's good.
I'm going to go with A- also. What I really would have liked to have seen is something, anything different in terms of the format. Couples do something, but you know what? This is, again, Is a Cake. I really enjoyed the show also, so A-.
There you go. And the second game that premiered this week is actually something that's been in beta for all winter long, and it just had its grand and glorious premiere this week. It is Text Savvy, which is the flagship game of the Savvy app, which is owned partly by the host, Scott Rogowski.
Hey, Scott Rogowski.
Yeah, we love to see good hosts working again. But here's the thing. Here's how you play Text Savvy. Every night at 9 o'clock Eastern time, you're going to be presented with 5 Lingo-type puzzles, or Wordle if you are a Gen Zer. And you know how it works. It's like, if you type in a word, if the letter turns yellow, it's in the word, but not necessarily in that position. But if it turns green, it's in the word, and it's in the proper position. You have to solve 4 word puzzles to get to the 5th puzzle, which is the Savvy Subtext Round. It's going to be something that connects the first 4 words, a la Match Games Super Match. Like, I believe...
I mean, Super Password, dude.
No. Super Match. It's going to be like last night we had 4 words that fit into blank card. And the Savvy Subtext word was card. You want to solve the puzzles as quickly as possible because you are also playing against Scott Rogowski. And if you beat Scott Rogowski's score, that makes you a host buster. And all of the host busters are put into a drawing for 6 hammers, which you can use to smash a piggy bank that contains all of the money you earned by solving puzzles quickly and beating Scott. Like, based on how well you do, you could bank anywhere from $1 to $5. But if you beat Scott, that's a bonus $5. And it goes into your piggy bank, and 6 hammers will be awarded every show. So let's talk about the good. The game is sound. Scott Rogowski is, as he always is, which is the ringleader, and also added to the fact that he's playing too, a different dimension in hosting. That's the good. The bad. I'm pretty sure you need to give somebody something for their time. Otherwise, this just plays out like Best Guess Live. And I have the same problem I have with this game that I have with Best Guess Live, and that is only a handful of people are going to win every episode, and it's going to be a random draw.
Well, so I like this a little bit more than you do, which surprises me. The good is the games, the tech, everything is sound. From a technical standpoint, I didn't have any issues, which is the important thing. I didn't get any crashes, stuff like that. I understand that not everybody's going to win a pony. So, I get it. Maybe it feels a little bit on the cheap end because, you know, you wouldn't mind seeing That's Right 3.0, where somebody wins $2,000 or something of great value. So, I get that. The bad, I'm not the biggest fan. Yeah, 6 hammers are being awarded, but out of, let's just say, a couple of thousand people, 6 hammers being awarded means your chances of winning something is really, really, really bad.
All right. Jay.
So, what I do, I like the like more than I dislike the dislike, because if you come in there thinking, this is going to be fun, maybe I'll win something, rather than, well, if I do everything, I'll win something, you'll enjoy the game more.
Again, mine will be incomplete since I have not played it yet. Okay.
So that is the game. I gave it a B minus. I mean, I like the game. I will continue to play it, and I will hope beyond hope that I am one of the hammers that gets awarded sooner rather than later.
Oh, and by the way, just as another thing, for those who won money on Portal 1 this year. Your tax documents are in your emails right now.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm just saying, for those who play anymore, I'm sorry. not a fan of the format anymore since they cut the budget and such. So.
Oh, what is this thing called play? You mean we make money out of these things? What are you talking about, Wilson?
Yeah, we make money. Yeah, we do.
I made $10 playing the beat tonight. Thank you.
There you go.
Okay, all that's left to cover, I guess, is this week in Beast Games. What do you got for me, Jay?
Well, and when we left, JC was trying to make an offer of giving Monica the coin, but keeping him on. But he was like, he's cuffed to the cube, he's out. So we're down to 10. 13, rather. 3 smarts, 10 strong. Okay? So, right now, between the 13 players, hearts represent their lives. Okay? There's going to be 2 games played. One smart-coded, one strong-coded. And then the winners of each will choose which 3 will be eliminated. Okay? So, Mr. B says, oh, you want, can you sell me back the coin for 100 grand? Nope. Okay? So, in the strong game, contestants are strapped to harnesses 100 feet in the air. They cling to the poles as their platforms pull back. No one who falls will be eliminated, nor they will have to say who makes in the top 10. Okay? And believe it or not, there were deals made, and then Briley leaves, and then Monica says, I'm not keeping Tyler safe. I'm lying. Duh. And, of course, the smart was a pattern memorization game, okay? And that turned out to be, let's see. It was, and then it, I believe, oh, sorry, I think Nick was the one who won the strong and Monica who won the smart. So we have 2 people who are shattered, which happens to be Briley and Tyler. Right. And the 3rd one is, well, we'll find that out next week. We're down to 11.
Yeah. So, yeah, by the way, 11 of them, 10 of them are still above ground. Or what if 10 of them are still buried?
No, that's next week, sir.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So, that's going to do it for your opening round. Still to come, more fun with plumbing. But first, it is all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including the most shocking reunion of Bachelorettes ever. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, 6-8-5-1. You're home, where we love to interrupt you. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 things that we may be doing preferential over the Make America Great Again Super Bowl halftime show. Unless you're actually watching it.
Just 30 minutes of Leonid the Magnificent and his friends? Too soon.
No, except, Jay, you're a country fan. I know you like country music. Are you watching this?
I do. Oh, absolutely not. No, I'm absolutely not, because I'm actually more of a Bad Bunny fan. Me gusta el majo conejo. I do. Okay? Unlike a lot of the people who are idiots, I actually speak Spanish and understand what he's talking about.
You don't have to speak Spanish. Just go with the flow. Y'all don't know how to go with the flow. That's the problem with y'all. You go with the flow with the basketball.
Put it to you this way. When Bad Bunny made his appearance at Backlash 2024, I believe it was, or 2023, in Puerto Rico, and was serenaded by 20,000 screaming Puerto Ricans singing Jambea, I knew he was something special. And he and Damian Priest tore up the house. He's going to tear up the Super Bowl halftime show, and it's going to be awesome, and no one is going to care after February 8th. We move on.
But are you going to be wearing a dress?
Am I? No.
I'll make sure he doesn't wear his dress, Gordon. I'll make sure of this.
Can we just go to break,
we'll
please?
We'll be right back. Stick and stay. What is wrong with you people? God.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
WLTI is presented by Canceled Talk Soup. Yes, it's all the fun of Talk Soup from the 90s, except we're talking about shows that have been canceled. Like, in the business, we call this foreshadowing. That is Canceled Talk Soup. John Henson, who is planning a wedding right now, lucky duck, hosts.
Indeed. Yes, because we are going to talk about that, because that's going to be in the business end. But, Gordon, lots of news, not a lot of time. Would you mind, please?
I will not. Roll that beautiful dream footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morse. As always, you can follow Doug Morse on all social media at Rock104 Rock Tracks, at Tracks Productions, and at Doug Morse Games. And do not forget to listen to Doug Morse every Sunday afternoon as he broadcasts Rock Tracks with Doug Morse from high atop his palatial Pine Belt estate on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Rock 104 FM app, and the Odyssey app. Now, Jason has a bunch of broken bats. One that says Sherry and one that says Kelly. Why do I have broken bats?
Well,
by the way, you have broken bats because Jason hit a bunch of zombies with them. So let's cue that too.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, so the reason why the bats are broken is this. After actually weeks of speculation, both in many gossip sites, Kelly Clarkson announced that she is suspending production of the, actually ending production of the Kelly Clarkson show after 7 seasons. The reason being, and I believe that this is absolutely true, she is going to concentrate on the healing process after the fall, her ex-husband, Brandon Blackstock. Right, and the father of their two children, passed away last year after a battle with cancer. She's going to perform. I mean, will she perform more and tour more? Yeah. But will she concentrate on her family? I believe that. Maybe I'm naive after all these years, but that's what I believe.
I agree with you. In fact, Kelly Clarkson explicitly stated that she was leaving the show to spend more time with her kids.
Yes. Okay. The other one, interesting. The Sherry Shepherd show is being canceled after 4 seasons. This was announced earlier this week. Now, Gordon, 2 things. You're the inside baseball person here.
I am.
One, what do you think of both developments? And 2, what do you think these hours are going to go back to?
I heard a different story on both Kelly Clarkson and Sherry Shepherd, and they are ratings and financial based.
Ooh,
in terms of both shows. Chico would know this better than I would. Chico, what are the ratings on them both, please?
Looking right now.
Looking.
All right.
By the way, I completely agree with Jay, and I believe Kelly Clarkson on that. It is very rough to try to do a show when you're having all that noise, background noise, all around you.
You know, because 9 times out of 10, when you hear spend times with the family, you know, I again don't believe that. No?
I totally agree with you here. Okay, so looking for the all right. According to this, Drew Barrymore is the highest rated talk show with 1.39 billion viewers.
Okay, and everybody else?
I don't believe I have numbers for those. It's been tough since Nielsen stopped, you know, publicly making their numbers public.
Understood.
I mean, I'll keep looking, but yeah. But Kelly Clarkson's show was watched by an average of 1.3 million people. So, not bad for Kelly Clarkson.
Not bad, however, compare it with, like, Price is Right or Let's Make a Deal, whatever.
Yeah, the top shows in this case are, obviously, Wheel, Jeopardy, and Family Feud.
Numbers are?
Wheel of Fortune just took the lead with 8.1 million to Jeopardy's 8 million. And Family
so there is a big difference between 8 million and 1.9.
And Family Feud has 7.9 million.
So they're all within, the top three are within all, within 100,000 of each other.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you've noticed from a syndication point of view, you've lost a lot of people in talk shows. You've gotten a lot of syndicated game shows now that have popped up out of it, and for the most part, they are a fraction of the cost of a talk show. So, could I buy the fact that maybe we'll see more game shows? Maybe. But, we'll see. You know, you can also have, and again, financially, you can have some of those spots go from syndication back to local. You can see news, you can see different outlets. You can see a lot of different things, so we'll find out. I'm not convinced to say game show, but I'm not convinced to not say game show.
Yeah, and...
Well, let me just ask you this. Do you think the Jennifer Hudson show is in trouble, too?
I don't know what the ratings are for that, so I cannot tell you.
Do you?
I do not know either.
But we'll see. But... You sent me a little bit of a date book. It's a little small, considering we're nothing really new is going to come out in the next couple of weeks because of the Olympics, which, by the way, some events have started already. The opening ceremony is tomorrow.
I've seen curling.
Dad and I have seen, the esteemed Mr. Block and I have seen snowboarding, which was great. Friday is the season premiere of Last One Laughing Columbia. Monday is a Road to 50 special premiere. I have to check to see if that's 1 hour or two.
I believe it's going to be 1 hour because they're going to light up episodes featuring cast members from Survivor 50.
Mm. Tuesday is the Singles Inferno, the season finale on Netflix. Wednesday is Love is Blind, the season premiere on Netflix. But let's talk about Dat App, though. I'm going to take the amuse-bouche, if that's okay, because you got the big one. Gordon, we have all played the Wheel of Fortune slots one version or another. As a matter of fact, one of the very first gambling experiences I had was winning about 200 bowels on a Wheel of Fortune slot machine in the Excalibur Hotel.
And that could be because some sexy macho hunk told you exactly which one to play and when to play it.
Correct. So, the Wheel of Fortune slot machine, try this, this is aging us, 30 years ago.
Wow.
Was the first slot machine in 1996.
I would not have been able to play the first Wheel of Fortune slot machines.
You were under 21?
When they first premiered, it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I was 16 years old, so.
Oh boy, okay. And what's going to happen is that we're going to get casino celebrations, Instagram and Facebook, slot influencer in collaborations, and I'm guessing a Wheel of Fortune slot week on the actual show.
And why wouldn't there be?
Right. And here's the interesting thing. According to the IGT statistics, over 1,200 millionaires have been made. There have been over 300 versions of the Wheel of Fortune slot. And the biggest jackpot, $14.4 million in a Mississippi casino. Now, here's the interesting thing. When I interviewed Harry Friedman many, 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 many years ago, he had stated that he started to play the slots maybe in the beginning. And he's like, wait a minute. I can't be playing this. Conflict of interest. And he stopped playing it. But this is something you'll be interested in, Chico. There's going to be a spin and sail cruise in partnership with Carnival Cruise Lines. The IGT Spin and Sail Cruise empowers select casinos across the U.S. to reward players with 8-day cruises aboard the Carnival Jubilee.
Oh, that's the newest ship of the fleet.
Where travelers will compete in a slot tournament with a $1 million prize pool. And the players will have chance to win seats also on contests on the IGT Facebook and the IGT Gaming North America Instagram pages. So, look out for them.
Looking out for those. Now...
But, yes, now yours.
Now I've got something for you. And it's right. Perhaps one of the smartest things that ABC could have done. Because they had success when they shared the window with Dancing with the Stars on Disney Plus. Beginning March 30th, they're going to stream American Idol live on Disney Plus as well.
March 30th?
March 30th. I believe that's when the
live
rounds.
That's a little late in the game, isn't it?
That's when the live rounds begin.
Ah, okay. Smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Smart, very smart. Not only is that happening, we're also having the American Idol official podcast on Disney Plus and Hulu to coincide with the start of the live shows. Each week, the podcast will dive deeper into America's most iconic music competition series, exploring the performances everyone's talking about, offering exclusive interviews, behind-the-scenes insights, and expert analysis of the judges' critiques. So, that's something to look forward to, and there's a bonus.
A bonus?
If you are an American Idol fan, and a Disney Plus subscriber, you are going to have the opportunity to attend Disney Night.
Oh, that's right. There is a. I saw this on a contest. Hold on. Let me pull that up, please.
Thanks to Disney okay. Plus perks, you can win.
That's right. If you, that's right. If you go, yeah, exactly. Hold on. I have it right here. Yes.
Perks.disneyplus.com. If you are a subscriber, sign yourself up, and you'll be entered into the giveaway.
Right, and it only runs through next week. It started yesterday, February 4th, as we recorded this, and it's going to be on April 26th. However, you will get the tickets, but you won't get travel or lodging. So this is sort of like a California area sort of thing, okay?
Or if you're planning to visit California and you want to get into the contest, there you go. Or if you happen to be a Disney, or if you have to be a Disney adult and like to visit Disneyland, hi, how you doing? You can do it that way as well. So that, all in all, what ABC is doing with American Idol this season, very smart.
This, however, it's really dumb.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Hey, remember when we talked about Spencer Pratt running for mayor of L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
He put the paperwork in, and now he is an official. An official. Candidate. And now, one of the things he wants to do, if he is elected mayor, is to arrest Karen Bass.
Good job. Good job, dude.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Even though, put it to you this way. Karen Bass may be potentially incompetent, I don't know, but that's just stupid. You know what? I need some warm Haterade. It's still damn cold. I don't know. Does Haterade come in hot?
It is the way I make it. Perhaps nuclear hot, because we talked last week about Top Model's Tyra-flavored documentary that's going to be on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Well, E! is offering its own series of documentaries called Dirty Rotten Scandals.
Right.
Not only will there be a Price is Right episode, there will also be a Top Model episode.
Ooh. And there will also be a Dr. Phil episode. And I'm, you know what, though? This is going to be one of those things. I think nothing new is going to be shown. And it's all going to be repackaged claptrap.
Yeah, but Tyra Banks is not going to be a part of this one. So you can imagine that the people on this one are probably going to have the freedom to say whatever is on their mind. We'll see.
I don't believe it, but
all right, Adrian, whatever you say.
Uh-huh. Where are we going? And where are we sending where are we sending Spencer Pratt, Karen Bass, and everybody involved with that e-docu-series?
Deutschland sucked in panel show.
Huh?
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
You thought it was over for after midnight, didn't you?
Pretty much.
What if I told you it wasn't over for after midnight yet?
What, is it coming back to the United States?
It is not coming back to the United States. It's coming back to Germany.
Nein.
Of all,
yes, it's
this is off.
It's called. It's going to be on ZDF, and it's going to be a local version called Neo Social Club meets Lara Larson. It's going to be just like After Midnight with German media personalities unpacking pop culture trends of the day. This is actually the first international adaptation of the At Midnight formula.
It actually surprises me that it's the first one, to be honest, because it is a really good format.
It was a great format, and I am sorry that it did what it did, you know?
Yeah.
Here in the U.S. It could have been still going on, and man, the content they could have had.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was gonna say, especially in this day and age right now, there is... shall we say, nothing bereft of entertainment or material. That being said, we know the network that it was on, and we know if that network, especially the one that's in charge of a merger, is accused of doing in Stephen Colbert on line one.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yep. Yeah.
Let's just say it's a very bad look.
Let's just go with some German and worldwide media pros.
And this week's Media Pro Report, Chris Harrison's hosting a dating show for a new dating show looking for a traditional marriage. His words, not mine. Survivor's Jeff Probst shares a throwback photo, and all I can say is mullet, mustache. Scream stars will reunite and perhaps promote the hell out of Scream 7 on an upcoming episode of Hollywood Squares.
Speaking of Hollywood Squares, we had our first clean sweep of the new era last night.
Nice.
Bosch Appliances and Tools and Guy Fieri have unveiled their Super Bowl commercial where Guy Fieri is just a guy but when he uses Bosch tools, he becomes Guy. By the way, if you've seen it, it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Mikey Day also has a new Super Bowl commercial. Elizabeth Banks is cast as the miniature wife for Peacock. Craig Ferguson will hit the road in a new series for CNN called American on Purpose. Dave Coulier announces his cancer is in remission. Congratulations.
Good deal.
Flavor Flav was reportedly approached to go Dancing with the Stars after his Hall of Fame judging job. Owen Knight united Survivor alums for We Stand With Minnesota. Brittany Bateman crashes an audition on American Idol. And we said goodbye to Voice Nigeria contestant Ifunanya Nwanjene after she was bit by a snake.
Damn.
Alan Cumming is the face of a new PETA campaign. And Derek Hough and Haley Herbert talk about whether or not they're going to return to Dancing with the Stars. We know Derek Hough is because he's one of the judges. But Haley, who knows? Damon Wilson and Catherine O'Hara, we also lost them as well. And Sam Buttry and Amy Schneider headline a delegation of Jeopardy alums at a comedy festival.
Is that happening or did that happen?
I believe it's happening until next week. So I will look again.
It happened.
It happened. Yes. Is this thing
called What's Funny? With Amy Schneider. And that happened January 31st, this past weekend, with Amy Schneider, Sam Buttry, Isaac Hirsch, Guy Branum, Joey Bland and Claire Sadler. Oh, man. Wow. That could have been fun. I would have loved to have seen that.
I also would have loved to have seen that. But none of them are your pros of the week. Because okay. 18 former bachelorettes will look back on their unforgettable journeys, share juicy behind-the-scenes stories, and perhaps pray for the soul of Taylor Frankie Paul on The Bachelorette Before the Final Rose, which airs right after the Oscars, March 15th, on ABC. The bachelorettes are Trista Sutter, Meredith Phillips, Deanna Pappas, Ali Fedotowsky Mano, Ashley Hebert Rosenbaum, Emily Maynard Johnson, Desiree Siegfried, Andy Dorfman Hart, Caitlin Bristow, JoJo Fletcher, Rachel Lindsay, Becca Kufrin, Hannah Brown Willard, Tayshia Adams, Katie Thurston, Rachel Recchia, Charity Lawson, and Joan Vassos.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
Well, there is that. Oh, by the way, speaking of mom talk, Whitney Levin is going to share some behind-the-scenes tea for Dancing with the Stars, that is, on the upcoming season of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. So be on the lookout for that.
Okay. Sure.
Oh, whatever. Oh, I'm not in the Target demo. Gordon,
and those are your pros.
Oh, thank you for saving me, Gordon. That is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Shutting it down right here.
All right. Once more into the toilets when we return for more We Love to Interrupt. Please stay with us.
WLTI has been brought to you by Scream 8, The Traitors. Because, hey, there's traitors in Scream anyway, and it's about time that people get murdered on a regular basis. In the movies that is not in real life. We do not advocate real life murder. But hey, it's Scream. And it's so good, it may set the stage on fire. That is Scream 8, The Traitors. You'll be housed.
Gordon, did you also hear about the new Saw movie with the original people coming back next year?
I did. It makes sense if they're going to do a direct sequel after Saw X, and it looks like that they're going to. So, yes. And so yeah, really looking forward to that. Just like I'm really looking forward to Saw having a toilet, which is what they did in the original movie.
Which they did. And here's how it works one more time. This is Push to Flush Volume 3 for this season, for the spring season. We love it. We push it, all three of us.
That would be...
Everybody lives.
Yeah, everybody yes. lives. But,
yes. If we kind of like it, we pay straight.
Everybody lives, but the villains get away.
If we're in the middle of it, we piggle it.
Everybody lives, but the villains
get away. Well, no, that's a piggle. That would be a push. A piggle would be we lose half the cast, but the main characters still live.
If we kind of don't like it, we jiggle the handle.
Do we get slaughtered?
And if we hate it, everybody dies. It's a flush.
Cabin three in flushes the Woods. Is a...
scary movie one.
I like Cabin in the Woods, but whatever.
Yeah. Let's start
Or in the words of heavy metal, you die, she dies, everybody dies. Oh. By the way, fantastic movie.
Oh. Right.
Which Ralph ages Bosch, everybody
Ralph,
here.
Ralph Bakshi is a mad genius.
Yes, he is.
Heavy metal is not Ralph Bakshi, sir. Try again.
Okay. All right. Let's start it up. Bell, please. Fear Factor, House of Fear. I like this. I liked it, but I don't love it. It's a pastry because Johnny Knoxville's perfect casting, but he... trying to meld the two formats. It's like Deal or No Deal Island, no bueno.
I liked it when Deal or No Deal Island did it. Johnny Knoxville, God bless him, he's trying it's a pickle for me.
I hate it when Deal or No Deal did it. With this, I like this better than I like Deal or No Deal Island. And Johnny Knoxville's really good, but they sort of kept the premises and the challenges back in 2010, and I want those back. Pickle.
All right, next up. Same game, new host. It's Craig Ferguson's turn to play Scrabble.
I've watched a couple of episodes that says the show's gotten better. It's not push-worthy, but it's definitely a very tasty pastry.
Very tasty pastry.
Yeah, Craig Ferguson has made the game his own, and if you're a Lowry fan, you're not going to like it as much. But I think he's solid, and he's always been a really solid game show host. Pastry.
Oh, and by the way, this is no disrespect to Raven Simone, who did a very admirable job in season one. This is not a disrespect or a knock towards her. It's just that Craig Ferguson has made the show better. Just for
Craig Ferguson is Craig Ferguson.
Yeah. Next one.
Next one. This might be a very solid pastry, but you don't have to take my word for it. It's Trivial Pursuit.
They've improved the game here. I don't know what they're doing over there in London, but they've improved the game. This one, too. Pastry, very tasty, too.
Oh,
yeah, I agree with this one. Season one for me was a pickle, and for me, I've upgraded this to a pastry as well. It's a lot tighter. They definitely made improvements, and almost all of them are for the better.
Indeed.
I'm gonna go full push here. Really,
you are?
I'm going to go full push. It seems like everybody's learned from season one, and season two is a better product, and it's a better watch, I think. So, yeah, I'm going to go full push.
Okay. Next.
Next. Can you believe we're doing 24 seasons of this? It's American Idol.
Well, and this is the crazy thing. I hate to say this, but I'm going to pastry this. The show has gotten relevant again. Crazily enough. Because I think they've realized what the show is, unlike another certain competition show. Pastry.
Yeah, in the business, we call that foreshadowing. Yeah, it's a pastry. You can tell that the show's gotten relevant. ABC's doing its best to expand the footprint, and that's going to meet out later this spring. So, yeah, American Idol, give it a pastry.
It's a pastry minus for me, so maybe it's a pastry full of pork. It's a pork pastry.
I get what you're saying. It's on the border between pastry and pickle.
Yes. It's a pork pie for me. I like what they're doing with it, I agree, but the biggest issue that American Idol has had recently and still does is the lack of relevancy after the show. If they can improve on that, make it a pastry, maybe even a push. So I like the fact that they're improving it, the relevancy is there, but we don't know if they really fixed a major issue with this. So pork pie.
I had to look up who won last year.
And?
It was a man by the name of Jamal Roberts. I have not heard anything from him since then.
And that's Gordon's point. Next one.
Yeah, next one. Season 2 of Extracted, now with 100% more Sandra Diaz Twine.
I don't know about this show. It just feels too inauthentic. Pickle.
I believe the word you're looking for is scripted. And I'm not sure if it's scripted, but it certainly doesn't feel real to me either. And I'm actually going to downgrade this. Jiggle. I like the premise, hate the execution.
I am going to agree with Gordon and jiggle it because I can't get into a show like this. I mean, I like the actual premise behind it, but I cannot, for the life of me, get into it.
So, next one.
Next what?
That season is 5 of Next Level Chef. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. This was a show that debuted right after the Super Bowl, if I remember correctly, four years ago.
Yeah. No, it was last year. No, wait. No, it was 4 years ago because last year was the floor. Excuse me.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, they put it on after the Super Bowl for good reason. It is a good show. It is a good show, and it continues to be a good show. I just wish they would, you know, put more of a challenge into it. I like the show enough, but it runs the risk of becoming stained. So for that, it gets a pickle.
I'm on the border between pickle and pastry. I'll say a very light, fluffy pastry. Because Gordon Ramsay does not have a really bad show within his repertoire. But it could be better.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with this. it has improved for me. I've gotten to sort of kind of like it, though I sort of really kind of don't. It's not as good as some of his other stuff, and it's definitely, it's an okay show, but, pork pie.
Okay, gotcha.
We're not turning pork pie into a thing. We have enough.
Sorry, it's between a pickle, it's a pickle and a pastry for me. That's a pork pie.
We have enough ratings on this game. Thank you very much.
Well, okay, this one will be easy. Yes, Voice, Battle of the Champions, flush. Okay, the show is not relevant, never has been relevant, never made a star out of anybody, fight me. It's a flush.
Yeah, it's a flush for me too, because I'm thinking to myself, yes, this is the Thinking Man's Talent Show, but you're turning it into a tournament of champions? Like, how's that even gonna work, huh? How? And then NBC is taking actively taking shows off the air so they can pump up this show. I'm like, Gretchen, stop trying to make Fetch happen. It's not going to happen. Flush.
You mean you didn't like America's Got Talent, the champions?
No!
No!
God, no!
This is clearly Olympic fodder. Which is ironic because this is on the same network as the Olympics are on.
So
I'm trying to understand, but no, we'll get the toilet out.
Okay.
One,
two,
three, plunge.
I tried to counteract the cold with. I tried to counteract the cold with a tropical fruit flavor. Did that work?
Yes, it did.
And finally,
this is the big one this week: Survivor 50 in the hands of the fans. It's a salute to the franchise. It's a salute to the players. It's a salute to the fans. I just wonder if they're doing too much with it. I mean, I like the idea, I like what they're doing, I like what they're going for, but it runs the risk of, you know, becoming too gimmicky, like The Amazing Race was last year. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, so are you going to push it, though?
I'm going to pastry it very carefully. I'm going to be very careful with my pushes this year.
I am going to pastry this as well. Not because I do not like the show, because I think Survivor is the best reality show on TV. Always has been. I'm just saying I'm worried about the execution of how they're doing this. The media campaign has been great. Everything about the push has been great. Let's see where they go from here. Gordon?
Believe it or not, I'm going to go pastry also, but for a very different reason. I don't have a problem with the media. I don't have a problem with Beast Island. I don't have a problem with any of that stuff. The problem that I have is the same problem that I have with all returning contestant shows, even the Tournament of Champions, even the winners, even if they had the voice up there providing the musical entertainment. That's a good idea for a break. Anyway, the issue that I have is the pre-existing relationships that kill shows like this. It's done it for Survivor 40 at Winners at War. It did it for the last Big Brother Tournament of Champions, so to speak, quote-unquote All-Stars. I'm afraid about this. I will make it, again, a pork pie.
No, you know you had a pastry. That's fine. Okay.
Well, it's a pastry. Maybe it's got some chicken in it instead of pork.
No, but...
Madagascar hissing cockroach pie.
Right, but again, this, we are not saying that Survivor 51, we're not going to push the heck out of it. Okay. Right. But here's the interesting thing, and Gordon, we talked about this earlier this year, late last year. What elements of Survivor 50 are going to go into 51? We don't know yet.
We don't. I mean, after episode one of Survivor 50, we'll have a much broader and bigger idea in terms of, okay, this is going to work, or oh no. We'll see. We'll see in a couple weeks.
We will see exactly. In a couple of weeks.
And next week, we kill the toilet, don't we?
We kill the toilet.
Yay!
But right now, we've got a speed round, and that's coming up right after this on Wheel of Twitter Up. We'll be right back.
WLTI has been brought to you by the Make Survivor Great Again Halftime Show. That's right. Why not Survivor? Especially since they pulled in every other friggin' media celebrity. Why not a halftime show starring the people of The Voice? Yay! Because, hey, we need relevancy. Even though they're on a different network, who cares? We'll have some Voice. We'll have some American Idol. Well, maybe Mr. Beast knows how to sing. We'll throw him in there. Well,
why don't we do Star Search too? You gotta get Star Search in there.
Ew.
There we go. We'll throw in Star Search from Netflix. You know, maybe we'll have Maddie Lesh. Nah, maybe we won't. That is Make America Survivor Great Again. Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, speaking of Super Bowl Sunday, we've got so much to talk about. We'll get to that, but right after we get to this speed round, which starts right now. Okay, the Jeopardy Invitational is underway, and we have the show, we have the listing for tomorrow. Who wins?
Who did you have? Who did we have?
We have, as soon as I close out, some Veronica, Bitchit Vatican, Erica Hasek, and Roger Craig.
Gotta go with Roger Craig.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I too.
And again, real play should be back in what, about a week or two?
Definitely before the end of February.
Yeah, there we go. RuPaul's Drag Race. Let me pull who is going to be up there, because we have the other six that are going to be on there, which are Sierra Mist, Athena Dion, Jane Don't, Discord Adams, Kenya Pleaser, and Mikey Meeks. Who is going to join Sierra Mist to lip sync for their life?
Kenya Pleaser. Week?
I agree with that, and if that's the case, she's gone.
Yep.
Remember also Mikey Meeks as well, she's been just safe. So yeah, Kenya Pleaser looks like the person who is in trouble next week.
Okay. Not much to talk about with the Olympics.
Not much to talk about with the Olympics. Do we have any mail?
We do have mail.
Oh, wait, one more thing. Wheel of Fortune, $1 million winner.
No.
Not yet, but they've got lots of tournaments coming, including a NASCAR tournament, which has just been filmed or will be filmed shortly because their season starts a week from Saturday.
Yep, I believe with Daytona.
Yes, with Daytona on the 15th. I'm just trying to think of where we're at broadcast-wise. I have to just double-check that. So you keep doing that, and I will check the information.
Well, while he's checking that, I've got a mail here from Logan Herget. Thank you very much, Logan. I love to listen to your WLTI episodes, old and new, so much, and I am a huge fan of your podcast on 5&1, and thank you very much, guys.
Wow! Nice! I like that. Thank you. That's great to hear, really.
Hey, we do this all for you guys, and frankly, to get something like that in the mail just does something to our little hearts. So
you know it's really nice, because every week we do this, and we've been doing this a while now, but it's cool to hear something like that. Keep listening, and you know, keep contributing, keep emailing. Thank you very much.
Does he have any other things that we could talk about besides that?
No, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. I am at, oh, don't forget to follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number 2 at the end.
And I'm GSNN Haterade.
And the network is at 5&1Net. That's the number 5&ONENET, where we talk about anything and everything network-wide, including what we are going to be doing Sunday night. That is myself, Jason, Ian, BRM, the entire 5&1 family getting together to watch the big game as soon as I learn how to stream it over Discord.
Notice they didn't mention me.
Well,
you can come
too. I did mention.
I know when I'm not wanted.
Oh, please, no, no.
He did mention. He did hear me when I mentioned the entire 5&1 family. I believe that.
Yes, and by the way, Gordon, aren't you doing King of the Hill, or is there no King of the Hill this week?
I've never done a King of the Hill. King of the Hill during Super Bowl Sunday.
And you are always.
However, what I have done is on the panel a heavyweight match at Unholy Alliance. Winner goes to Mega Bowl in Virginia.
Okay,
so that takes care of the panel. Jay, talk about the NAWC, please.
The NAWC will be talking about the unbelievably cinematic, awesome promo that is starting the road to WrestleMania between CM Punk and Roman Reigns on Raw. We will also talk about the new champion on NXT, but if you say his name, he will appear.
Joe Hendry.
I believe in Joe Hendry. Clap, clap. Yes. He's your new NXT champion. We will also be talking about the road to Grand Slam Australia, and that two major stars have actually met on Radio Row, and the world has not imploded yet. But Seth Rollins and MJF bumped into each other on Radio Row this week at the Super Bowl.
Wow. Speaking of the
Chico, what's happening with it was a thing and
Super Bowl. Speaking of the Super Bowl, we got two football themed episodes up this week. We've got Monday Night Quarterback, which is basically a pilot featuring celebrities and their professional football player partners playing You Make the Call.
Oh, I love those. Okay.
Yeah, so there's that. And at the top of the hour as we record this, we will have the Super Bowl 23 Diet Pepsi Talent Challenge.
Huh?
Which is basically five football stars doing things that are not football related. We've got Reggie White telling jokes. We've got somebody playing the piano, and we got one person singing Bobby Brown.
So it's the NFL RuPaul's Drag Race talent show.
Yes. And that's going to be all up at itwasathingontv.com.
Okay.
Right. I remember that when it was Secret Talents of the Stars. All one episode of it.
Oh, That might be on It Was a Thing later. I don't know. It's not like I have a schedule in front of me. Anyway, next week, it's toilet killing time.
We'll also be talking about the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, more RuPaul's Drag Race, more pre Survivor 50 stuff, and all the news of the next 7 days, right?
That is correct, and we do it all for you. For Gordon Pepper, Jason Block, for everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over, and spread the love.
Night.
Interrupt this program.